We've gone through elementary school, middle school, high school, college, but when we get to the end of the pipeline, it runs straight into a wall.
Wait, a wall?
So here's the thing about the end of the pipeline. Even if underrepresented groups get all the way through it, they often struggle to get hired and stay hired.
So it's not just a pipeline issue.
And it's not just the technical jobs, but all executive jobs. Silicon Valley is a boys' club, and mainly a white boys' club. So their networks tend to stay white and male.
The pipeline is a problem, but the bigger problem today, I would say, is the recruiting process, the hiring barriers, and also the inclusion aspects.
This is Ellen Pao, the former CEO of Reddit and the founder of Project Include, a nonprofit dedicated to increasing diversity in tech.
We would love to see companies really take a look at, are their interviewing processes actually causing women and potentially other groups to drop out disproportionately?
We wanted to see if any companies had considered this kind of self-aware approach. So Latino USA producer Noam Hassenfeld and I found two companies that are actively thinking about diversity.
And Ellen Pao is actually an investor in one of these companies, which is called Atypica. For the record, Atypica is partially funded by KPOR Capital, the investment arm of the KPOR Center for Social Impact, which is among Latino USA's financial supporters. We looked at Atypica because there's an interesting story there, not because of the connection to KPOR. Now, Atypica's founder is Laura Gomez, a former manager at Twitter, and she's one of a very small number of Latina founders.
In an area where it's really hard, less than 1% of all venture capital goes towards Hispanic, much less women.
Laura has spent much of her career in the tech sector. She saw firsthand how hard it was to be both a woman and Latina, and she also saw how businesses were often more successful when they were more diverse. So she responded directly to Ellen Pao's challenge to fix the hiring barrier at the end of the pipeline.
What we do is take artificial intelligence to read those resumes in a way that is structured to understand what their needs are for the company.
By designing a computer program to read resumes rather than letting managers do it, Atypica helps companies avoid a whole lot of potential problems, mainly those of bias in hiring. Here's Laura again.
For a long while, still, tech has followed pattern matching. Did you go to school? Can you code?
Pattern matching is basically tech speak for stereotyping.
Pattern matching sometimes has a tendency to go along with past employers or universities, or even sometimes biases in the name.
So if you have a common Latino last name, or if you go to school outside the highest rated colleges, a manager may automatically assume you're unqualified. Atypica, though, isn't the first company to create a computer program for hiring. Big companies like Google use computer programs to sift through resumes, but Laura says that might not be enough to ensure that their hiring process is unbiased. Because if those seemingly unbiased computer programs
are created with the mentality that they should reflect whatever industry or information you have, then they're just going to start learning the same information and biases that are reflected in their data.
In other words, we sometimes think that computers will just fix our problems, but we forget that computers are built by people, people who often have the very biases these programs are trying to fix. If a program is built by biased people, the program will just end up reflecting those biases on a wider scale. And Atypica has designed its program from the ground up explicitly to avoid these types of biases. Supposedly.
So, does Atypica's program work? Is it actually a magic bullet to get more women, for example, hired for tech jobs?
Well, we don't really know. Slack, one of the companies Atypica works with, has pretty good diversity numbers for the tech industry. Their latest report revealed that 43% of their managers identify as women, but that report was before their relationship with Atypica started. And Atypica itself hasn't published any results of their program. Despite repeated requests, we couldn't get Laura or her clients to talk to us about how well the program has worked.
So for now, the jury is still out. Meanwhile, in Chicago, another company has also focused on diversity by zeroing in on its own staff and without any fancy computer programs.
We're not using quotas, right? We're not saying we need this next person in this role to fit a certain demographic. But when we are looking to hire people, we do understand that having a diverse perspective will help our team.
That's Ayo Jimmo. He's the chief technology officer at a company called Upturnative. It's basically an app that lets people do their own eye exams. And in a lot of ways, Upturnative is a pretty typical startup, but it does not look like one. Here's Ayo's colleague, Gerald Palmer.
When I walked into Alternative, I saw the diversity and I was like, wow, what a breath of fresh air. A startup that looks like this, when my last startup was like, I was one of two Black people there, it makes a difference. I interviewed at several places where I walked in and I said, I do not want to be the only Black guy again. I'm taking myself out of the pool for this job.
Alternative has built a seriously diverse team. Ayo, the CTO, and Gerald, who runs patient support, are both African-American. One of the co-founders is Chinese-Canadian. There are three Latino staffers. You might think Alternative knows something that others in the industry don't. But talking to them, it becomes clear that while their thinking may be different, they're not really doing anything that special. Here's CTO Ayo.
We've always been a team that has sought out diversity of all types, and not through any types of quotas or anything like that, but just because we understand that it improves our ability to get a variety of opinions on all topics, not just the perspectives of, you know, one person or one specific demographic.
So they still operate similarly to many Silicon Valley companies. They rely on employees to refer friends or former colleagues for job openings. But they get a different result, because from the get-go, their team was not just a bunch of white dudes.
I think it all starts at the beginning, right? So once you start with a culture of diversity, it's easy to continue with that because you have a diverse group of people referring other people.
So we've got Atypica, a tech company with a computer program helping other companies up their diversity, and Alternative, a company that has focused on increasing its own diversity. But here's where the story gets tricky.
As I'm talking to Ayo at Alternative, we get to the question of technical jobs in his own company. It's a small team, fewer than a dozen people, and four of them are in top positions. They're senior engineers.
Our senior engineers are really the ones who are guiding the rest of the team, serving as mentors, but then also, you know, some of the core members in terms of implementing on the software platform.
And I'm going to ask you, of those four senior engineers, are any of them women?
Currently, they are not. Our senior engineers, currently all four are men.
And I didn't know this, but around the same time Ayo and I were having this conversation, Noam, you had a similar one with Laura at Atypica.
Yeah, I looked at Atypica's list of employees, and other than Laura, its founder, Atypica only has one woman employee. The company devoted to increasing diversity throughout the tech sector employs just one woman other than its founder.
I think about it constantly.
When I asked her to explain why she employs so few women, she said that most women who apply do so as junior engineers, and that's not enough experience for her company.
They're not a fit for Atypica because we right now have mostly senior engineers.
Honestly, it's a little hard to get past this. Laura says she hasn't hired more women because they don't have enough experience. Basically, she's making the pipeline argument that there aren't enough qualified women to hire. But her whole company is founded on the idea that the problem isn't the pipeline.
We don't think it's a pipeline issue. Like, there's still more female engineers than the roles that they're being given.
Ayo over at Alternative says he had a similar experience hiring senior engineers. Only a few women applied, and they simply didn't have the right experience. But he says the pipeline problem is a fact. The shortage of qualified women and people of color in tech is real. And his diagnosis is that people self-select. They simply don't want to pursue careers that are stacked against them. They need mentors, role models, success stories of others who are like them. And I just kept wondering, who's responsible for breaking the cycle, for creating these role models?
Do you think that part of that responsibility is on you, say, to really go out of your way to spend extra time and find that senior engineer, or to spend extra time and promote your existing junior engineer into a senior engineering position so she can become that person?
I don't think... You know, that's anyone's, you know, responsibility. I think it's something, you know, it's a self-imposed responsibility. I don't think it's a societal responsibility. You know, people can choose to move along in their careers as they see fit. But people who do care about seeing others like them succeed, or seeing there being no barriers to success, if you do truly believe in that, I think it is your responsibility.
Well, so for you personally, do you think it's your responsibility?
That's a hard one, right? I do believe in, you know, reducing barriers, and I do believe I have a responsibility, and I put in the time that I have to do that. At the same time, I have a responsibility to my company, to my team, to myself, to my family. So it definitely does have to be balanced.
So it's almost like there are two competing impulses here: improve gender equity or ensure the success of your business. You might not think these values are in conflict, but even the companies who are better on diversity seem to think they are.
In a way, this push for diversity in tech is still so new that it's sort of treated as a cause or a mission. And fighting for a cause and running a business aren't the same thing.
If you think about Lauda, at the end of the day, she didn't found Atypica to heal Silicon Valley's diversity problem. She founded a company she thought could fill a market need.
There is a part of me that says, let me show, but I have to put my business first and foremost.
So here's the messy reality. Two companies that are front runners on tech diversity get high marks for racially diverse teams, yet still struggle with gender equity.
And we've actually discovered a similar situation at other companies that say they put diversity first, like a boot camp that pushes to recruit women but hires all male instructors.
Lauda and Ayo both point out that their teams are tiny, so they aren't hiring that many people. But at the big companies, the problem is even harder to overcome. It's like steering a massive ship. Turning it just a few degrees takes a major concerted effort.
And it's interesting to see how different companies are tackling the issue. Slowly, some of them have started to put diverse hiring in quantifiable terms. The goals aren't lofty, but at least they're specific, measurable, public. They are someone's responsibility. For example, Twitter has a specific percentage target for women engineers, and Intel has a goal of having at least 45% of its new hires be women or underrepresented groups.
This episode originally aired in 2016, so here's a quick update a year down the line. Intel did hit their goal of having 45% of new hires be women or underrepresented groups. Atypica still hasn't published results of their program, and when I went to their website to see if they had hired any more women, I found that they had removed their list of staff from the site. I reached out to Lauda, and she declined to comment. But one of the companies Atypica works with, Slack, has shown improvement in 2017. Their percentage of women employees has stayed the same over the last year, but their percentage of women managers has gone up from 43 to 48%.
And here's an update from Upturnative. A big one is that Gerald Palmer has switched jobs since the episode first aired, so he actually does not work at Upturnative anymore. In terms of the situation inside Upturnative, the company also declined to provide an update, but on their website we saw that they now have a female executive. She's been hired as the chief product officer. More broadly, 2017 has seen some major developments in the conversation around diversity in tech. Former Google engineer James Damore wrote a memo called Google's Ideological Echo Chamber, in which he claimed that the reason there are fewer women in tech is at least partially due to biology. Damore was then fired by Google. In a note to Google employees, Google's CEO Sundar Pichai wrote this: "To suggest a group of our colleagues have traits that make them less biologically suited to that work is offensive and not okay." Then there was a series of sexual harassment cases that have led to the retirement of many Silicon Valley leaders. Travis Kalanick, the co-founder of Uber, resigned as CEO after sexual harassment allegations. Mike Cagney, the head of social finance, also known as SoFi, resigned after a harassment scandal. And Dave McClure, head of the incubator 500 Startups, resigned, writing a blog post entitled, "I am a creep, I am sorry." Aarti Shahani, technology reporter for NPR, says that things are starting to change.
It's a sign that people are noticing things that would have been considered acceptable behavior maybe a couple decades ago or a decade ago are now really being brought into question, and a lot of women are stepping up and speaking out.
But Aarti is noticing pushback as well. She says that an investor told her that she's now seeing a new pattern.
Startups run by men who say, wow, there's so much of this sexual harassment and complaining stuff going on. We just don't want to hire women. We don't want to do it because it just opens us up to liability.
There needs to be pressure on these startups.
Short of having pressure, real pressure, to make sure you're inclusive, you might just shut the doors tighter.
And this pressure can come from investors. As a startup founder,
you listen a whole lot to who you're getting money from. And so what I've observed is a lot more scrutinizing.
She points to specific investment firms, which basically say,
you have to make this pledge. You have to commit to diversity and inclusion goals.
Sure, progress is moving slowly, but Aarti says the shift is real.
There has been a palpable shift here where people feel like they're being watched and feel like they have to be accountable in ways that privately wealthy, rich investors didn't quite feel before.
Ultimately, holding companies accountable for sexual harassment and for hiring goals will allow more kinds of people to enter and stay in the tech field. And crucially, many economists point out that's the major challenge for the future of America. The economy of the future is one where almost everyone has to interact with computers and code.
According to Del Del Medina, who you heard from earlier in the show complaining about the pink computer, the way to make sure America isn't left behind is by bringing more people into the tech field as it stands.
We're going to have a jobs deficit that's so huge that if we do not fill it, we are going to have severe economic consequences. And women and everybody who's currently underrepresented in the tech industry has to gain those skill sets, because otherwise it will not go well for any of us.
If we zoom out, it becomes clear that there is still a pipeline problem, and those leaks need to be patched up in order for the tech industry to become more inclusive. Our economy could depend on it.